Hello and welcome along to F1 Rewind, the motorsport podcast packed full of Formula 1 history. It's fit to burst, a bit like a 2013 spec Pirelli tyre. Hello everybody and welcome along to another episode of F1 Rewind. Last Sunday it should have been the Monaco Grand Prix. And while 2020 will be the first time since 1954 that Formula One won't visit the Principality, today's episode is a bit of a Monaco special as we look back on all the things that have happened in F1 on the 27th of May. It's the day on which British and Allied forces began the evacuation of Dunkirk in 1940, the day that the Sex Pistols released God Save the Queen in 1977, and the day on which BTS became the first K-pop group to top the US Billboard 200 in 2018. It's also the day that Stirling Moss made his F1 debut in 1951, the day on which David Coulthard started from pole position for the final time in 2001, and the day that Michael Schumacher famously parked his car at La Rascasse in 2006. Yep, we're talking about that classic Schumacher moment. Also today, a Spaniard with a very long name, Taki Inoue being injured by a safety car, and an Australian drinking from a shoe. So let's get on with it. Here's your trip down F1's memory lane on May the 27th. We start today's podcast with the 1989 Monaco Grand Prix, and we do so for two reasons. The first being that qualifying for the event took place on this day. There was a media frenzy heading into the Monaco Grand Prix that year, as the relationship between Ayrton Senna and Alan Prost began to wear thin. An agreement between the pair was broken at the previous round, the San Marino Grand Prix, and Prost had since accused Senna of being dishonest. Nevertheless, Senna stormed to pole position in Monaco, lapping 1.1 seconds faster than his teammate. Senna's lap time, at 1:22.3, marked the first time that a lap of the circuit had been completed with an average speed of over 90 miles an hour. The Brazilian would go on to take his second Monaco victory the next day, finishing almost a minute ahead of Prost. The other reason why we're kicking off with the 1989 Monaco Grand Prix is because of Pierre-Henri Raphanel. He was born on this day in 1961 and made his only Formula One race start as a result of qualifying for the Monaco Grand Prix on this day in 1989. Raphanel is the only driver in history to make his only F1 race start in Monaco. On the Thursday in the Principality, he set the third fastest time in pre-qualifying, ensuring that he'd progressed to qualifying for the first time in his career. It was also the first time that the Colony team had both of their cars qualify for a Grand Prix. Raphanel ultimately qualified in an impressive 18th place, albeit 4.7 seconds away from Senna's pole time. He completed only 19 laps of the race before being forced out due to gearbox issues. The Frenchman was no stranger to Monaco, having won an F3 race on the streets of the Principality in 1985. He'd made his F1 debut in 1988, competing in the final race of the season with Larousse, where he failed to qualify. He spent the first three quarters of the 1989 season at Colony, with the Monaco round being the only time that he made it out of pre-qualifying. He then moved to Real Racing at the Belgian Grand Prix and failed to qualify for any of the six remaining rounds. After his F1 career, Raphanel would race at Le Mans, where he took two runner-up finishes in 1992 and 97. In 2006, he became Bugatti's lead test driver, and in 2010 he drove the Veyron Supersport to its maximum speed, a whopping 431 km/h, which was a new production car speed record. 1989's Monaco qualifying session isn't the only one that has been held in Monte Carlo on this day. There have been three other qualifying sessions held on the 27th of May, including one of the most controversial Saturdays in F1 history. The Saturday in question was qualifying day at the 2006 Monaco Grand Prix. In the closing moments of Q3, Michael Schumacher was on provisional pole, but other drivers, including title rival Fernando Alonso, were also setting competitive times. Schumacher himself was on another flyer until he entered the final section of the track and seemingly forgot how to turn at La Rascasse. With his car parked at the tight corner, the yellow flags were brought out, and Schumacher therefore stopped anyone else from setting a faster time. The stewards and fellow drivers were not impressed by Schumacher's antics, and late on Saturday evening, the German was relegated to the back of the grid, and Fernando Alonso inherited pole position. Keke Rosberg called Schumacher's actions the cheapest, dirtiest thing he's ever seen in Formula One. The Ferrari driver ultimately started from the pit lane and fought back to fifth in the race, while Alonso cruised to victory. Two other less controversial qualifying sessions have taken place on this day too, and they may not have been controversial, but they were dramatic. The drama on this day in 1995 happened before the qualifying session. Taki Inoue had spun out in the practice session, and his car was being towed back to the pit lane. For some reason, at the same time, the safety car was carrying out a demonstration lap of the circuit. In the middle of the swimming pool complex, the safety car rammed into the back of Inoue's car and flipped it over. Worse still, Inoue was still sat in the car without his seatbelts fastened. He sustained two impacts to his head and had to be taken to hospital for a brain scan. This would be the first of two times that Inoue was involved in a safety car incident in 1995. The second time would be at the Hungarian Grand Prix, when he was run over by the medical car after crashing out. Talk about ironic. Most recently, for qualifying sessions on this day, Kimi Raikkonen took his first pole position in 9 years, on this day in 2017. The Finn lapped fractionally quicker than his Ferrari teammate Sebastian Vettel. It was a bad day for Lewis Hamilton, who struggled to get up to speed and was eliminated in Q2 following a crash for Stoffel Vandoorne. More on Monaco in a moment, but first, aside from Pierre-Henri Raphanel, there have been two other Formula One drivers born on this day, and both were born on the 27th of May 1942. Robin Widdows is first up. He began his racing career in 1965 and competed in Formula 3 in the following year before moving up to Formula 2 in 1967. He made his only Formula 1 appearance in 1968, partaking in the British Grand Prix at Brands Hatch. Racing for Cooper, he lined up 18th on the grid, but retired after 34 laps. While he never made another F1 appearance, he continued to race in F2 for a few years after. Concurrent to his racing career, Widdows was also a bobslayer, and competed in the Winter Olympics twice, in 1964 and 1968. His four-man team finished 8th in 1968, while in 10th place was another former F1 driver, American Bob Sedd. Sedd also competed in only one F1 race in his career, the 1959 United States Grand Prix. Widdows later became a representative for Moët and Chandon in Formula 1, which kept him closely linked with the sport. Speaking about his role with the champagne company, he said, "One of the biggest challenges was that I knew nothing about champagne, didn't speak much French, and the president insisted that no one speak to me in English." Also born on the 27th of May 1942 was Pierce Courage. The British driver, who was the heir to the Courage brewing dynasty and was educated at Eton College, made his Formula One debut with Lotus at the 1966 German Grand Prix. He drove for the BRM Works team in 1967, but after repeatedly crashing and spinning out, he was dropped after the Monaco Grand Prix. A string of good results over the winter in the Tasman series led to his return to F1 in the following season, and he also drove for Frank Williams's team in F2. Williams took his team into F1 in 1969, and Courage was his first choice for a driver. That year he took two podium finishes, finishing as runner-up in both Monaco and the United States. In 1970 he had less luck in an overweight and unreliable car and failed to finish any of the first four races. Then at the fifth round, the Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort, the car's suspension broke and sent Courage hurtling off the track. The car disintegrated, rolled over and set alight, and Courage was killed instantly. There have been seven Formula One races held on this day, and the only one of those not to be held in Monaco was the 1951 Swiss Grand Prix. The night before the race, Juan Manuel Fangio had run over a black cat on a lap around the circuit. He said that he resisted the temptation to let himself be dragged down by superstition. And he certainly did that, as he won the race by almost a minute, that being made all the more impressive by the fact that the race was held in wet conditions. Joining Fangio on the podium was his Alfa Romeo teammate Giuseppe Farina and Ferrari's Piero Turufi, who finished as runner-up and celebrated his first podium finish in only his second World Championship appearance. It was also in this race that a 21-year-old Stirling Moss made his World Championship debut. His HWM car was largely uncompetitive, but after qualifying 14th, he managed to be running in 7th by the end of the race. But he ran out of fuel on the last lap and was classified in 8th place. Joaquin Palacio died on this day in 1989, and he made his only F1 appearance at the last round of the 1951 season. Well, I say he made his only F1 appearance, but he didn't actually appear. He withdrew before practice for the 1951 Spanish Grand Prix, and his number 46 Maserati was instead driven by Juan Hover. Palacio also entered the non-championship 1954 Syracuse Grand Prix, but failed to qualify. The Spaniard went on to race in sports cars, entering the Le Mans 24 Hours race in 1953, and winning the Copa Montjuic race in 1954. If you were interested, his full name was José Joaquín Palacio Pantaleón de Palacio e Hover. You're welcome. Back to Monaco now, and let's take a look back at the 6 Monaco Grand Prix which have been held on this day. The 1979 Monte Carlo race was held on the 27th of May, and it was won from pole position by Jody Scheckter. The South African, who would be crowned world champion later in the year, took the final pole position of his career at this event. Meanwhile, James Hunt made his final F1 appearance in this race. He qualified 10th for the Wolf team, but retired from the Grand Prix. A fun Monaco fact about Hunt, his 9th place finish at the track on his first appearance in 1973 is the only time that he reached the end of the race here. 11 years on from the 1979 event, Ayrton Senna took a 3rd Monte Carlo win in the 1990 Monaco Grand Prix. The Brazilian had started from pole and led every lap en route to victory. Jean Alesi finished a 2nd behind Senna, securing Tyrrell's 75th podium finish. Further back, Eric Bernard scored the first point of his career in 6th place. He did so by forcing his way past Gregor Foytek in the closing stages. Though Foytek did not finish the race, he was classified in 7th place, which was to be the best result of his career, as well as the first of only 2 times that he was classified in a Grand Prix. And it would be another 11 years until the next Monaco Grand Prix held on this date. The 2001 race was won by Michael Schumacher, who equaled Graham Hill's tally of 5 wins in the Principality. Behind the Ferrari pair was Schumacher's old teammate Eddie Irvine, who scored Jaguar's first podium finish. David Coulthard had taken pole position for the race, and it was to be the last pole of his career. However, the Scot didn't start from pole, as his car suffered a software glitch. As a result, he was required to start from the back of the grid, and then spent most of the race stuck behind Enrique Bernoldi's Arrows. After the race, Bernoldi made allegations that McLaren team principal Ron Dennis and Mercedes boss Norbert Haug had threatened to shorten his F1 career if a similar incident occurred in the future. Earlier on, I was talking about the 2006 Monaco Grand Prix, where Fernando Alonso was victorious for Renault. And 1 year later, on this day in 2007, the Spaniard was winning once again. This time he led home McLaren teammate Lewis Hamilton. The McLarens dominated the race, with 3rd place Felipe Massa finishing over a minute behind the pair. Every other car finished a lap down. Alonso's win made him the only driver in F1 history to win consecutive Monaco races for 2 different teams. Mark Webber won the Monaco Grand Prix for a 2nd time on this day in 2012. His win marked the first time that 6 different drivers had won the first 6 races of a Formula 1 season. Webber started from pole for the 10th time in his career, but it was Michael Schumacher who had been quickest in qualifying. A grid penalty carried over from the Spanish Grand Prix meant that the Germans started only 6th. It was a relatively closely fought race, with rain threatening all afternoon, though the highly anticipated shower didn't make an impact. Webber finished 6/10 ahead of Nico Rosberg, marking the 8th and most recent time that the Monaco Grand Prix has been won by less than a second. And the most recent race held on this day was another Red Bull win, and a redemptive day for Daniel Ricciardo. Despite car issues, the Australian was able to hold on to win from pole position and finally take his first Monaco Grand Prix victory. While there were no safety car periods in the race for the first time since 2009, there was a virtual safety car stint due to a brake failure on Charles Leclerc's car, causing him to crash into the back of Brendan Hartley. Leclerc's appearance in this race marked the first time that a Monegasque driver had raced at their home event since Olivier Beretta did so in 1994. The 27th of May has also been a milestone day for teams in Monaco. Lotus celebrated their 250th race in 1979, as did Benetton in 2001 and Red Bull in 2018, while the Enstone team, which was originally Tolman, celebrated their 500th race at the 2012 Monaco Grand Prix. And finally, a headline from our old friend Jacques. This one comes from 2015, and on this day, Villeneuve claimed that it was dangerous for Formula One to ask fans for views. It came following a survey being put out to motorsport fans globally by Autosport and the GPDA. Villeneuve disagreed with the notion of involving fans in decisions, saying that modern F1 was what the fans wanted. He said that the sport should stop trying to get more fans and instead focus on keeping its current fans content. Villeneuve said that the sport was missing something special, and when asked what he meant by something special, he replied, "A car that no one can drive. It's a car that only 10 guys in the world can drive properly, and 10 others can survive in it. Like it used to be." So what do you reckon? Do you agree with Jack on this issue? Is it too easy to drive a modern day F1 car? Should fans have a say in the direction that Formula One takes or not? It's definitely something to think about. And there you have it, that's your lot for another week's episode of F1 Rewind. Plenty of Monaco memories in this week's show, from Inoue's safety car capers, to Schumacher's qualifying antics, and Benoldi's roadblock. And how about Fangio's black cat incident? Good job he wasn't too superstitious. We'll be heading back through the archives once again next week, where I'll have even more tales from the F1 treasure trove. Have a good week, and I will see you then.